Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is December 5th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording. I don't normally do this, but I am going to, just because I know he sometimes listens on recording, I'm just going to say happy birthday to Jose. Jose, if you're not on live right now, then I hope you're listening to this via recording because and I'm wanted to mention that to you because you've been one of our favorite MV Pros for a long, long time. So just a little side there. I guess we'll start the call off. Well, I hope everybody had an awesome and safe Thanksgiving. Obviously, if it wasn't too safe, then I guess you're not here. You're one of those people not listening to the call live, maybe. But anyway, hope everybody had a great holiday, great time, got through all the contentiousness of the family, which sometimes can happen. That can be quite fun sometimes. It's kind of weird how that becomes the story. But anyway, we'll start the call off the way we do pretty much every week, which is to ask, was there anything anybody learned this last couple weeks that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with, you know, other water treatment professionals or anything we can help you with? It's been a couple of weeks and I had to forget. I like almost forgot my own script. But very curious to know, what you guys learned or any questions or comments you have in the last couple of weeks.
Kelly, I have a couple of things.
Go Jen.
Go Jen. So last week, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, just before Thanksgiving. I think it was Wednesday, just before Thanksgiving. I now is the open enrollment for health insurance, and there was a particular company that I wanted to look into. I'd heard great things about it, and so I did a Google search. And when I did the Google search, I did what I probably shouldn't have done and taken the very top, that was the top lead, I guess you could say. And it had the name of the company that I was looking at. It had it right there in the description. I thought for sure I was clicking on that. Go ahead and I click on there and they ask the questions, age and so on and so forth. And, you know, pardon me?
28.
Yeah, $29.95 plus shipping and handling. And then,
no, I mean 28 for the age. 28 for the age.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I did all of that, and then it asks, do you approve to have an agent contact you? And I'm, okay, sure, And I hit go, and, right at that moment, somebody called me. And I'm like, wow. And then as I'm answering that call, it was from a different insurance company. And while I was on the phone with them, trying to get them off the phone, I had three more calls. I had Thanksgiving Day. I had Black Friday, 40 missed calls. On Saturday, they start calling at 7:30 in the morning. Sunday, Monday, I've had well over 150 calls that I have either turned into spam or not taken. And the thing is, they're calling from my area code. So I did originally start talking to the first person, and but then after that, I'm like, wait a minute, I pushed the wrong button. So I think a little bit of the lesson on this is if you are using Angie's List, it got to the point where after the third phone call, I was like, I'm done talking to people. So this goes back to if you're using Angie's List or the Home Advisor or lead sources like that, make sure that you're calling them back right away, because if you're waiting, they've already had a million phone calls and they're tired of talking to people. So that was my first thing. Anybody have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I find that really interesting, and I'd like to get people's feedback on that, because what comes to mind is kind of the – there's a balance, right? So don't forget about your next topic, Jen, but I want to expand on this one a little bit, because I think this is really, really interesting. You know, it's kind of one of the reasons we have refrained from sending out you know, we try to limit the number of constant contact or the email, you know, blast that we send out this time of year, because I don't want to, I hate getting all of those things. I mean, it's a constant delete, delete, delete. I must have deleted, you know, 800 emails over the last week. And they work. Obviously they work. You know, were there one or two emails that I actually opened and read? I guess there were probably a couple, you know, but how do you, I mean, there's so many questions about that. You know, what's your point about getting back first? Makes a lot of sense, doing, you know, responding really fast because people are in the moment right then and there and you talk to the first person. What also comes to mind, though, is that it sounds like you felt just a little bit duped when you realized that what you clicked on was not what you were looking for. So I think it's important to recognize that. And the other thing is at what point do you or do we not want to be part of what ended up being a negative feeling for you? You know, a lot of questions in there. What do you guys think about that? I mean, what comes to mind is Jen kind of tells that. I think that's really a great story, Jen.
Thank you.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? Any comments?
All righty.
Yeah, I you know, on that note, I mean, we do have quite a few people on the call this morning. I heard quite a few people log on, and I know people are muted, and they do that for background noise, and I appreciate that too. But I do appreciate everybody coming on, and that kind of comes to mind too, is to build a, you know, build enough value in your company that you can, you know, you still get those customers calling in, you still have those opportunities to serve people, even on those times where you take a couple weeks off. So, and by the way, on that note, I am truly touched that, you know, we did not send out, said this before, it means that you guys have this on your calendar and find it valuable enough to log on even without the weekly reminder. And I just really appreciate that a ton. So thank you. But okay, Jen, what's your next story? It's a great, I think that's a great food for thought, that first one. That was excellent. So
thank you. So many of you have heard my story about the windows. When we purchased windows, we went with the least expensive company. I didn't like the sales guy, and we had issues with the installation, and it just was a bad experience all across the board. But we unfortunately had to go with the least expensive, with what was in our budget. The guy I liked the absolute most and actually had offered a position with one of the companies here in Michigan that we were hiring for, and he declined because he was very happy with the company he was with. He, even though I called him up and said, hey, listen, I'm sorry we had to go with another company because of cost, he said, I completely understand. I have since then referred him to three people that have built brand new homes and have used him. So he made a lot more money off of them than he ever would have on us. But he continues to still not send too many. I'd say probably once every 2 to 3 months I get an email that talks about specials that they have or something like that. And every year, it's been probably 6 years now, I get a holiday card from him. And it's not Christmas. It's just, you know, season's greetings, blah, blah, blah. But what he included this time, which I thought was really cool, was Aunt Amy's holiday cake recipe card. And I'm sure it's mass-produced. I'm sure Aunt Amy didn't write every single one of these by hand, even though it looks handwritten. But I thought that was a nice special touch, is to send some sort of a recipe. And it looks like he hand, you know, the message was typed out, but he hand-signed every single one, or hand-signed ours at least. So this season, things are sometimes a little bit slow. I know I've heard from a couple of our sales pros that things are a little bit slow. Take some time to send out little holiday cards. And if you can include something like Aunt Amy's holiday crackle recipe or something like that that makes it very personal, I think that's awesome. Thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. The only thing I would have to add to that is you got to do it quick, because, you know, this is, I mean, we are literally 3 weeks away from the holiday, you know, and I mean, 20 days, that's the countdown, 20 days right now from Christmas. Of course, it's, you know, Christmas isn't the only holiday out there. You know, there's lots of people celebrate different things, but if you're going to do that, I guess you could make a New Year's card that would stand you, you know, Happy New Year. So it doesn't, you know, you have a little more time. It doesn't have to be, it's not like the 25th, you know, things like, okay, we're done, move on. That's, although by the time people get to that day, sometimes you know, people are ready to just move on. But I don't know about you guys. It hasn't seemed as bad this year as far as like the already, a lot of times there's like burnout. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes you get, even this time of year, people have been talking about it for so daggone long that you get, by the time Christmas comes around, you're like, oh God, I'm glad that's over. I haven't really felt that so far this year. I don't know. Maybe that's just me and the fact that I haven't gone to a lot of stores to get hammered by it. I haven't done a ton of shopping. Not in the brick and mortar stores. I have done a lot. That's interesting too. I was thinking about that, you know, in terms of how it relates to our business and everything, just how much, I mean, even you went online for the insurance. I mean, I was listening to the statistics for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and they set records, like huge records. So everybody is going online, you know, which makes a website and those reviews and the things that you looked at there, Jen, it makes it all the more critical that we have our, you know, our online presence looking good, you know, looking like, I mean, that's what makes people want to shop there. You know, they at WQA at mid-year, I think they were talking about how Amazon, the search engine on Amazon, has surpassed Google in terms of its search engine. When people are looking for something, they go to, I don't remember exactly how they worded the stats, but people, that's what they do. And so like the search engine on Amazon is, you know, it's gargantuan. So, you know, making sure that we have a solid online presence is pretty critical. So what else, you guys? I do have a topic. I want to talk a little bit about follow-ups if we get to it today, but what else? Any other thoughts? Any stories? Any comments? Anything? Anybody learn anything? You guys are quiet.
Corey had something. Corey. I'm not sure if he should be on.
Corey, you
but
on?
Anyways.
Come on.
He had a lead. Oh, is this Corey or Chad or Jason? I'm sorry, it was one of the three of you that had a lead.
They
all look the same.
I can't tell my part
like
either.
Iowa.
Yeah.
Anyways, Corey had a lead not too long ago that came from one of the fairs. How long ago were you at that fair? Was it you, Corey?
Oh, that's right. Yep, that was me. And that was, had to have been July. So quite a few months ago. And it came in, and she was ready to remodel her kitchen, and she kept my card because we had a good conversation. And the funny thing about that is just yesterday, another lead came in from the fair. Straight to me. They called me directly and said,
wow.
They remembered me and asked if I could come over and just check their equipment, and which of course
nice.
I'm happy to do. So it's really interesting how now it's been all these months, and an event that we didn't think was very successful is now coming to light.
How long ago was that?
July.
Okay.
Maybe,
so
yeah,
wow,
right around July.
See, that again, that there's so many lessons you can take from that, which are the now, have you followed up with any of those people, like sent an additional contact or a note or an email or a letter or anything like that to them since then, or have you just let it go?
I contacted them about 2 or 3 months ago, something simple like a text, because we didn't have a whole lot of information on them.
Yeah. Did you think that, I mean, a text means you had their cell phone number, and they called you directly back on your cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of makes a person wonder if they saved that text, because they probably didn't respond to you back then, right?
No, they did not.
So, you know, what I'm picturing in my head is them getting a text, but they didn't delete it. They, when it came time, they held on to it. They appreciated the follow-up. They held on to it, and they scrolled all the way back through. Did you say something like, this is, you know, Corey from, and then name the company, or or put a keyword like water? What's that?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, because what I'm picturing is then, I do this. This is why I'm kind of picturing it, is because I do the same thing. Sometimes when I'm looking for, you know, I got a text from somebody, from a client or a customer, months ago. I did this just a couple days ago, actually, looking for the number for somebody. It was a referral for somebody, and I went to my text messages and ran a search on the company that they were with, and it came up. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I couldn't even remember the guy's name. I just remembered having spoken with him, and I remembered his first name, but I couldn't remember his last name or anything. It's a very common first name, and so I went through and searched and pulled it up and got the number and remembered everything about it and was able to look it up further. So, in texting these days, although just like what Jen was saying, I've gotten, you know, everybody's starting to use texting now too. And I do tend to read my text more than I read my emails, especially if they're just really short and quick. But they've got to be relevant. And we can't assume that just because you didn't get a response from it doesn't mean they didn't answer. You know, I mean, that's the other thing that talks about is the importance of following up. And then, you know, we've talked about this before, the importance of continuing, you know, okay. You know, when you walk into a house, and this honestly, you guys, this highlights something that I truly, truly believe in and have said multiple times on this call and want to reiterate here the same way. Sales should be way more about giving than taking. It should not be about gimme, gimme, gimme. And what sets the sales professionals apart from the sales people, the salesperson walks up to a house or talks to a customer and says, oh, I'm going to make so much commission on that. This is going to be great. A sales professional, in my opinion, walks up to that house saying, okay, I'm going to look for a way that I can truly help this customer. And if you sometimes really helping that customer is not making a quick, most expensive sale you can get that night. Sometimes it's diagnosing them, giving them the information, sitting down and really explaining to them what their options are, and then trusting our customers to be intelligent people. You know, sometimes you're going to lose some of them. And you can definitely get this a lot from owners or managers that we work with, you know, that kind of remember the old school type of sales. And you do, you know, there's a line here. You do have to ask for the sale, and you have to make it known that you want. You're not a professional visitor. You can't go out there and just continue to, you know, just be warm and fuzzy with everybody. You do have to ask for the opportunity to serve them and let them know very clearly that you want their help, or that you want to help them, that you want their business. You know, I mean, I used to tell them when I was married, you know, and had kids, I still have kids, not married anymore, but, you know, back when I was in sales, I was married and had kids, and I used to say, you know, don't get me wrong, I want your business. I definitely want your business. I mean, my wife's real funny about the kids having solid food. So I definitely want your business. But I'd rather have your referrals. If it comes down to it, I'd rather have your referrals, like Jim was talking about with their Windows guy. which is a prime example of this. You know, I used to tell people, and still do, I'd rather have your referrals than your business right now. And, you know, that highlights the importance of continuing and not hammering them, not being obnoxious, not calling every 10 minutes and just, you know, or every 2 days or whatever and letting it go. At some point, you got to, you know, you got to back off a little bit, but do periodically reach out to them and say, hey, I'm still, you know, I'd still love to answer any questions you have. Still love to help you. That is where, you know, Jen was talking about it being a slow month. I think you guys have heard me say this before too. December was always one of my busiest months, and I did not have house leads. So yeah, I think if you're relying on house leads coming into December, potentially it could be a little slower because people are, their attention is spread out among so many people, you know, so many places to spend their money, so many emails to read, so many texts, they're still working and doing their business, but they're preparing for family to come into the city into town, and they are trying to get the house cleaned up. They're finishing the end of the year stuff. They're, you know, they got a million, their attention is drawn a million different ways. And so they're less likely to recognize or notice some of the advertising attempts that a lot of companies seem to, you know, really ramp up and promote this time of year. I'm not saying don't do that. I do think it's important. You know, you still got to make yourself relevant and get in there. But I think people are less likely to notice it. For me, December was a great month. And I think it's because it was more personal for the relationships that I had built, like what you're talking about, Corey, you know, and just in the way you had talked to them. This is the time that people remember relationships, and they remember friends, and they remember family, and they and if you have presented yourself more in that light, you know, in that type of a manner, it seems likely, and this is just a theory. I don't know. I'm definitely interested in you guys' thoughts on this, but it seems likely that they're more likely when it comes time to contact somebody to address that stuff. They're going to remember you. They're going to scroll through those text messages and reach out. You know, so this is why we have to approach every opportunity, every time we talk to a customer or a person, we have to do what Jen's window guy did and be less worried about the immediate right then sale and more about the relationship, the long-term results of that discussion. Thoughts on that? What do you guys think? Did I just take your little scenario, Corey, and take it way out in the realm of just, you know, forever land?
I forgot what it was now. I brought it up. Well, I know, Kelly, you had a topic, and there's only like 6 minutes left.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. We're going to say, because the topic's a good one.
I have one
more.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let's do it next week. So I have one more.
Yeah, sure.
And then I'll be done. But so Jason, oh gosh, this is probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, a little bit longer than that. He had some equipment installed into the home. And the customer had called and asked to have it removed. And Jason, are you able, I know you're on the call, are you able to talk about that situation and what ended up happening with that?
So, to make a long story short, they wanted it removed because they were saying that the wife's hair was falling out because of the water, the soft water. And so I sold them a system that took out the chlorine, the softening. It was the best one that we offer. I went out for the follow-up. Everything tested normal. Everything was great. There was soft water. There's no chlorine. It's working well, and she still wasn't happy. Probably 10 days later, he called, the husband calls back in. He's like, we're just not happy. She's not happy. We want the system removed. And so I called him and I said, what's going on? What aren't you liking about the water? Like, what is it not doing? What can we do for you? And he's like, we're just not happy. And we just want it out of here. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to push it. If you're not happy, you're well within your right to have us take it out. No worries. So they rescheduled twice on the removal. In between time, I called him again. I said, I know we're trying to get that out of there, but I really, really would like to get to the bottom of what you really don't like, just for future reference, so I know what I'm doing. And I can address those concerns. And he said, well, we just don't like the feeling of it. And I said, okay, well, you do have a system where we can adjust the hardness or the softness of the water. We can dial that in for you. And then that almost seemed to make him even more mad, because he was like, well, if we're going to put some hardness back in the water, then why do we need the system anyway? And went off on that. So, okay, well, if you're not interested in that, that's fine. We'll still come out and get it. Day of, the tech is at the house. The guy changes his mind. And we do everything I just said we were going to do, adjust the water. And everything's fine. So he keeps the system. He repays for the system. Everything's in the house. He keeps it. And then a week later, he still wants to have it removed. He wants to return it. And at this point, we're way past our return point. He has to keep it. It's his now. But through some conversations, we find out that he has a cousin or a brother, someone that lives in Phoenix, who has a water conditioner and not a water softening. So he wants the saltless system. To be put in, and I think he got sold on that. But the type of water in the city that he lives in, the water conditioners aren't going to do him any good. They're going to have a lot of the same problems that they had before and stuff like that. So, it pays to get down to the bottom of it, but I think there were some underlying things that were going on there that he really wanted to return the system, but it wasn't anything that we did. We did everything that we could possibly do.
Yeah, sometimes. And you know what? When I came in the industry 21 years ago, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, on the call I mentioned this, but when I came in the industry 21 years ago, the word water conditioner and water softener were interchangeable. They were pretty much, synonymous with each other. And there were some companies, like some of the magnet companies out there, and some of the saltless systems that were trying to take the word that were actually in a way kind of being more ethical than what you see sometimes, because they would say saltless water softener, which of course is not accurate. It doesn't soften water, it doesn't take the calcium out. Even their claims don't claim to take the calcium out. It just claims to change the molecular structure of the calcium and keep it from doing all kinds of stuff. They have been, as WQA, as the Water Quality Association, has, and the industry has kind of cracked down on calling them water softeners. Those alternative technologies have really embraced the water conditioning terminology. And I guess in some ways, I can understand that, because at least they're not calling them water softeners anymore. But water conditioning is a new term, and they have been kind of successful in winning the terminology that makes people feel warm and fuzzy, at least at this point. We just have to do a good job of explaining what those technologies do and don't do without sounding like we're just bashing up-and-coming technology. It's not up-and-coming. This stuff's been there forever, and it works exactly the same way it did 30 years ago when they were selling in the back of magazines. But that's just an opinion. anyway, with that, Jason, it sounds like you've handled that one extremely appropriately. And this is what we do. That's part of sales, right? We run into those challenges. So next week, let's talk about follow-ups and kind of how to, how to structure them, what to do, when we should do a follow-up, stuff like that, what to do in the home going through when we do the follow-up. So let's talk about it. It's been a while since we've done that call, and it's an important one. So unless something else comes up between now and then, I am still trying to get a couple guest speakers, and if we happen to get one, yeah, I'm available to serve, then I'm going to do that. But for now, let's talk about follow-ups next week. And I've always enjoyed these just discussion calls, with these ideas. Sometimes the best ideas come from these calls where you just sort of are having a conversation. I really appreciate that. So everybody, be safe. Have a great week. We will, just a reminder that, that we've only got two more calls of the year for the MV Pro call. So, everybody be safe, and we will talk to you in next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Have a good day.